KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, December 20th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, musicians Taylor Dallas Vidic and Josh Koloski stop by ahead of their weekend music festivities all around Juneau, including the Forbidden Peak Brewery tomorrow. We chat with UAS Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer, and we get the latest goings-ons from the CBJ Parks and Recreation Department. Those conversations, plus Tongass voices and a look at the holiday programming schedule, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Today is the last regular show of Juno Afternoon for 2024. Hard to believe we are here, but we are. Time rolls on. Next week, enjoy a bevy of holiday specials, and then on Tuesday, December 31st, join us at 3 p.m. for this year's News Roundup special. We'll chat with new managing editor Claire Stremple and audience engagement editor Adeline Baxter about the news stories that had impact and effect on Juno this year. Regular Juno Afternoon programming will resume on Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Let's have a quick look now at some of the holiday specials coming up, just to let you know what these are. Over on KRNN, on December 21st, that's tomorrow, the Big Tiny Desk Concert Holiday Special will be at 2 p.m. On Monday, over on KRNN, Child's Christmas in Wales. That will be so fun. They'll be playing during Cross Currents with John Silverstein. And then on the Christmas Eve, there's a couple of specials on KTOO. Talk of Alaska, the ever-popular holiday special version of Talk of Alaska, will be from 10 a.m. to noon. And then that night at 8 p.m., selected shorts will have holiday hitches, which will be kind of fun. And then on Christmas Day itself, you will have a Christmas truce over on KRNN from 8 to 10 a.m. And on KTOO, we'll have the Christmas Carol with Jonathan Winters at 10 a.m. and also Tinsel Tales at 3 p.m. on KTOO. And then on Thursday, we have a couple of other specials. We have the Hanukkah Lights at noon on KRNN. And over on KTOO, in place of Juno Afternoon, will be Seasons Griot, which is all about the African peoples and African traditions, which will be really nice to hear as well. And then on the 31st, we will have on KRNN Toast of the Nation from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. You can celebrate your New Year's Eve. It's been playing since the 70s. And then Presence of Hanukkah at 10 a.m. will be on January 1st on KTOO. That's some of the holiday specials, but of course you can find all the holiday specials by looking at the website kto.org and go down to the schedule for each different station, and the calendar will keep you up to date on all of that good stuff. And speaking of the holidays, are you looking for those last-minute holiday gifts? Well, KTO has you covered with gifts for the public media fans in your life. You can now design your own hoodie or sweatshirt with one of our vintage logos, or get tickets, to two upcoming KTOO events, the Alaska Theater Festival radio plays at the end of January, or David Sedaris, which is happening in May. He's coming back to Juno. Or why not both? So just go over to kto.org for merch sales and ticket links. Gunnath Cheesh and happy holidays. Next, we will have some spirited music with Taylor and Josh, and we'll talk about a special event happening at Forbidden Peak Brewery. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ani kak. Gunnish cheesh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks,
Live from the red carpet stage right here in Studio 2K at KTOO. That is Taylor Dallas Vidic and Josh Koloski, who will now sit down at the mic and join me. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tomorrow, Saturday, December 21st, out at Forbidden Peak Brewery, they are hosting an Auk Bay holiday. That is, Forbidden Peak Brewery is hosting. It will include a family photo booth, a cookie decorating segment, and of course, live music, some of which you just heard. It's also serving as a fundraiser for a little boy named Cade, who was born with an ultra-rare genetic disease. You can learn more about that at cureforcade.com. And you can also find a full interview with Cade's parents here on Juno Afternoon from this past September, which we go into detail about everything about Cade and what was going on with that. He's just a young little boy. He's like 3 or 4 years old. And you can find out more about that at cureforcade.com. And so now I'm joined by Taylor and Josh. Thank you for coming in on the last live show of Juno Afternoon and warming our hearts. That was a really nice warm song. Thank you, Taylor. And welcome, Josh.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, honored to be on the last show of the year.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're going to get another song out of you here in just a few minutes. But wanted to talk to you about this event. And also, it's not the only thing that is going on for you both musically this weekend, so we can talk about that a little bit. So, Taylor, why don't we start with you and tell us a little bit about your musical journeys that are happening this weekend.
Yeah. December is one of my favorite months to be a musician because I love Christmas music and holiday music, and I relish opportunities to play music with a jazz band. And so I'm so excited this weekend. I'm doing two shows with Luke Weld, Clay Good, Chaz Gist, who's flying up from Ketchikan tonight, which will be fabulous. And then Tim Powers will be joining us on saxophone. So we'll be playing Saturday at Enoch Bay Holiday. And then Sunday we have a sold out show at Amalga Distillery. So really excited to be doing this community family event tomorrow night and out in the valley and in a space that doesn't get to host live entertainment very often. So I'm really excited to see how the valley receives us coming out and playing music. I'm stoked.
Yeah, I know. A lot of times it's always in some sort of downtown location or downtown bar or night event, but this is really, it's out at Forbidden Peak Brewery out there in Auk Bay. It's called an Auk Bay Holiday. And let me just go over the times and stuff for this thing that they're doing. So there's going to be a family photo booth from 2 to 6 p.m. And then there's also going to be cookie decorating during that time. And I'm imagining it'll be sort of holiday cookies with icing and all that good stuff. And I'm assuming that they're providing all of the things that you'll need to do that cookie decorating, which will be kind of cool. And then there's live music. And it's not only going to be you, Josh, and you, Taylor, and the Swingin' Gents, or Gents. Do you say Gents or Gents?
Wow, maybe I should say Gents.
Gents is
kind of
fun.
Because it makes me giggle. Yeah. I'll try that on for size tomorrow.
Yeah, see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then, but you're also going to be joined the opening act at 3 p.m. So the music's going to start at 3 with Vox Borealis.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing some caroling.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful there will be some families, especially that time of day, to enjoy those carolers, just because it is such a sweet and nostalgic energy that the Vox Borealis carolers bring to any space that they perform in. So they've got a quartet coming, and they'll be wandering around the room starting at 3 o'clock.
That's fantastic. And it's a perfect time because it's daytime.
Yeah.
It's not too dark yet.
Yeah.
You'll be able to decorate a cookie, take a family photo, hear a little music. It's going to be – that's just kind of a nice way to enter into this holiday weekend.
I think
that's pretty cool. And then at 4:30, Josh, you'll be on. And then at 6 o'clock, Taylor, you'll be on. But then that evening, right after you perform, Josh, you're heading downtown?
Yeah, double duty, you know, Christmas time, you gotta do it all.
You gotta gig when you can gig.
You gig them all, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going downtown, and there's a punk rock Christmas show going on.
Tell me about that.
Obviously.
I love it.
Right? Yeah, right? And I think maybe it's the first annual ever punk rock.
I have not heard of it before.
It's quite a claim.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go ahead and say it.
Sure.
First punk rock Christmas show.
Yeah.
And that's going to be at the Crystal Saloon at 9 p.m. that same day, the 21st.
Okay, that's
so,
tomorrow, yeah.
Crazy way to celebrate the solstice, you know, all kinds
of
Oh,
that's
cool
right.
Stuff.
It's also the solstice. Right? It will finally start to become light again.
Yeah.
Which will be really cool.
Thank
so that's
goodness.
Great. Yeah, it's going to be so nice.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you're newer to Juneau, but not newer to Southeast. Tell us a little bit about your journey in getting here to Juneau.
Yeah, sure. Well, I first showed up in Alaska in 2017 as a 29-year-old free spirit and was going to be a guide in Skagway. So I stayed there, and that was like my first introductory and met a bunch of just crazy
people.
Can
confirm free-spirited Josh arrived in Alaska.
I know. Oh, thank you, Taylor.
Yes.
And Taylor and I, go way back. That's I actually met Taylor that year or the year after. And then, you know, I traveled all around Alaska. Alaska really took my heart, originally from Michigan. Now I just ended up in Juneau in January of this year and teaching music lessons full time and, beautiful partner. And we're just hanging out. I love Juneau.
That's been great.
To be here.
So. Yeah. And what made you decide to come to Juneau?
It's a good question. You know, actually, if I was to be completely candid, I was on my way up to the Kenai. But plans in the universe has its way of, changing and pulling strings. So it didn't end up happening. I met a beautiful gal and we fell in love and ended up moving down here.
That's a typical Juneau story.
I know, right? This is typical.
Lucky us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And it's kind of cool. And did you meet Josh when you were used to work at the Red Onion or whatever it was back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool because you did that for a few summers, right,
Taylor? Yeah.
You did that for 3 or 4 years or something?
A few more.
Lots of crazy tales out there in Skagway during the summer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I was just curious because we're at the end of the year and we've had a lot of music on the show this year and we really enjoy, obviously Folk Festival Week is a huge week on Juneau Afternoon and we do all that kind of stuff. But how do you both find the music scene sort of growing in Juneau. It seems like more people are making albums, more music is happening like almost every weekend. Everybody's in every other band. Everybody's band is, you know, co-mixing and making new kinds of music, different kinds of genres and things like that. So Taylor, let's start with you in terms of your experience, because you, sometimes you're behind the producing of some of these events that are happening. But how do you find the music scene right now?
Yeah, it's, I don't even want to say it's popping off because that makes it sound like it's ramping up, but it is just like hitting it hard all the time right now, which is really exciting. And I think that Juneau just got featured on some small arts
the vibrancy
list.
Thing.
Yeah, vibrancy thing. And, yeah. and we've cranked up several steps on that.
Not, yeah.
Which may or may not be directly tied to our local, especially late night music scene, but it does not come at a surprise because, yeah, things are happening every weekend. I feel like all of the venues are piggybacking off of each other's efforts and quality, and everyone's kind of leveling up together. And that goes for the musicians as well. And we're just having more conversations about what we can do with our art and how far we want to go with it and what kinds of shows we want to do. So if someone decides they want to put together a punk rock Christmas show, there are people around who are like, heck yeah, I've been playing my instrument more. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Which is really exciting.
And so what do you think we can look forward to in 2025 besides the Taylor Dallas Vidic album?
Yeah. Good job, Boston. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. Like, I don't know what's public knowledge yet, but I know that there are so many cool things that are being cooked up for the next 12 months from people's new albums to special one-time events to, you know, the 50th Folk Festival and
50th Folk Fest. Ok Rock will be back. Like, it's just going to be
just
a huge
happening.
Year. And of course, we'll probably feature a lot of that stuff right here on the show.
Thank
and
goodness.
That'll be so good. And so, Josh, you've been here about a year.
Mm-hmm.
How has your experience been sort of with the music scene?
It's been stellar, really. And thanks for starting with Taylor. She's from here. I don't know enough. I can only speak broadly of the greater Southeast Alaska. But Juneau's treated me very well, and I had immediate opportunities. And coming down here wasn't any kind of weird, strange thing, you know, as many of the listeners probably feel, as Southeast Alaska is just like one big, maybe Alaska as a whole is one big small town kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Just people are really connected, you know, and living in Skagway and Sitka and Juneau and all these places and knowing Chaz and shout out. What's up, bud? There's so many awesome musicians all over Southeast, not only, you know, in Juneau. And then coming down here, it was like, oh, man, I got to step up my game, you know,
mm-hmm.
just watching some of these guys, you know, and gals and everybody in between. It's amazing to see the quality in the not only that, but the I'd say the broadness of it all, right? There's just so many different genres, you know, so.
It's very cool, and I know Taylor's part of the Muskeg Collective, which is mm-hmm. also a cool group that sort of, what I liked about it, because you just reminded me of this, Josh, is that they push each other, right? They're pushing
mm-hmm.
each other to write songs, to make music, to create, to have events, and do all that kind of stuff, which is kind of cool. And it's perfect because we are the beneficiaries at this time of year musically, because it's the holidays and we get to hear not only your own original stuff but also some holiday tunes. And Josh, you're going to play one more for us.
Yeah.
If you could, please, if you could go step up onto the red carpet
stage. Yes, I
will
disappear into this mic
and,
to another mic.
And I will give the details for this event one more time. It's an Auk Bay holiday. It's tomorrow from basically 2 to whenever Taylor is finished. It's going to be a family photo booth, cookie decorating all the way up till 6 o'clock. But at 3 o'clock, the music starts with Vox Borealis Carolers. 4:30 will be Josh Koloski, and then 6 p.m. Taylor and the Swingin' Gents.
I'm liking it more and more every time you say it.
And so that's happening. And then, of course, you can also catch Josh at the Punk Rock Christmas Spectacular at the Crystal Saloon. But on Sunday, Taylor will be at Amalgam Distillery, but apparently that show is sold out.
It's sold out. Juno, blessings to you.
Yeah, Juno's really good at that stuff.
Amen.
Well, thank you both for coming in. Before we hear this last song, Josh, is there anywhere we can follow you? Are you on Instagram and that kind of stuff?
Yes, I am on Instagram, Facebook, just my first name, last name, Josh Koloski. That's pretty much it. Go
awesome.
On there and check it out. Thank you.
And, of course, Taylor, you also have your own Instagram as well under, is it Taylor?
Taylor Dallas Vidic.
Yeah, Taylor Dallas Vidic. And you can find their websites and all that stuff there. So, once again, here's Josh Koloski. amazing. Thank you so much for you both being here. And just again, one more time, I wanted to mention that tomorrow's event at the Forbidden Peak Brewery is also a fundraiser for Cure for Cade, and you can find out more information about that at cureforcade.com. Gunnath Cheech for you both being here today. Really appreciate it. Up next, this week's Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Oncologist Dr. Paul Wyden has been treating patients with cancer in Southeast Alaska for 23 years. Now he's retiring at 83 years old. Every month he would travel to Juneau to see patients who might have otherwise flown to Seattle to see a specialist. He also provided remote care for patients in other Southeast community. And although he's seen access improve over the years, he says there's still a ways to go.
I'm Paul Wyden. I'm a physician, a medical oncologist, hematologist, and I have come to Juneau monthly to see folks up here since November of 2001. In the 20 years prior to that, I was at Virginia Mason, and we saw a lot of patients who came from Southeast Alaska, particularly Juneau, to Seattle, particularly to Virginia Mason, for care for cancer. So the folks that bothered me most were the patients at the end of life who'd been treated up here and would come down to see if there was anything more that could be done. And they'd come with the patient and the family, often spending their last resources, monetary resources, energy resources, psychological resources, to come down and almost always for me to say, you know, you've had pretty good treatment up there in Juneau or Wrangell or wherever you were, and there's really nothing more that could or should be done. So when I left Virginia Mason, I said, you know, I don't need to have those folks come down here. I can go up there. If I have a patient in Sitka or Wrangell or Skagway or whatever, we do telemedicine, unless they need to come to Juneau for the radiology facilities that are here. There are more towns in Southeast Alaska now that are able to do that, but it stretches their resources because not so much the administration of the chemotherapy, that's not so hard, but it's the complications of the chemotherapy that occur unexpectedly between the times a patient gets chemotherapy. And that's a lot of responsibility for somebody in, let's say, in Skagway or Wrangell or Petersburg, where there are limited resources. So that is still a tension. But on the other hand, I think that problem is better solved by us here in Juneau being the center hub than trying to do it when I was in practicing in Seattle. You know, I didn't really understand where the hell Skagway was in relation to Juneau. So now I have a pretty good understanding of where everything is and can work with the patient and the family and the whatever local medical facility is in that town to see what's reasonable to do. You know, you also understand that a patient from Skagway can get to Juneau pretty reliably in the summer, but come winter, and you know, it's a little dicey. So, you know, as I say, it's rare that a patient really needs to, let's say, get the hell out of town to get good care. And there are two or three patients over these 20 years that I really struggled to get out of town today, and not only get out of town, but to go somewhere where they would be taken care of that night. And there are at least two that come to mind who, if, you know, I hadn't seen them on the day that I saw them and made the diagnosis and understood the situation, if they'd called the University of Washington or Virginia Mason and said, I'm sick, they get an appointment for 2 weeks later or even a week later, they'd be dead. That's rare. I mean, it's good television drama. But it's actually very rare, and I can think of two in 20 years where that's it. Now, I've probably forgotten two, but it's not tens or 20s. It's single digits of patients where that kind of encounter is a difference between life and death. And if I go back to, like, the 30, 40 years before 2000. There are also two or three patients in my career where I can think on this day I made the difference between life and death. It's rare, but it is, you know, extraordinarily exciting and rewarding.
That was Dr. Paul Wyden, who has been treating cancer patients in Southeast Alaska for 23 years. His retirement party was yesterday at Mago Distillery. So congratulations, Dr. Paul Wyden. This is Juno Afternoon. We'll be right back. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by Chancellor for the University of Alaska Southeast, Dr. Aparna Palmer. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here today, Dr. Palmer. Wasiiti, how's it going?
Good. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me to talk with you today.
Of course. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about a few things coming up at the university. And then, of course, because you are my favorite water bear and sea worm marine biologist, I have a few questions for you about that as per the usual. So let's talk about let's get the business out of the way, the stuff we need to talk about. So there's some cool things coming up.
Yeah. So one of the things that's coming up is our career fair. This is going to occur on February 25th, and it is going to be at the Egan Library, and we would like to invite any employers in the area who would like to table at that event and meet our students and recruit for jobs or internships they might have. This is a great way to connect with our students, and it's an important way in which we serve our local workforce.
Yeah, so if people have a business and want to have a booth, they can sort of get a hold of the university. Is that what they would do? How they could do that?
Yeah, so they can grab a table. It's a $100 registration fee, but that includes the table and some snacks. And they can actually go online at our career website, so career.uas.alaska.edu, and learn a little bit more. Or they can call Amy Richards, our career services manager, directly.
Absolutely. And that career fair is wonderful for students, but anybody's welcome to go to it, right? Is it only for students?
It's absolutely open, but it's really focused on our students and our alumni.
Yeah,
we really want to connect our students and alumni with local employers.
Right. It's so great. And I know a lot of companies turn up for that, and it's a great way for students to learn about the options, right, for things that they're going to be doing after they graduate.
Absolutely. I think it's so critical, especially, you know, the focus on an internship. An internship, if you think about it, is kind of like an extended interview with a potential employee. You get to kind of find out how they work. You get to train them in the procedures that you have. The student actually learns quite a bit and can actually earn some college credit. And then you have a chance to really build a stronger relationship with someone you might want in your workplace.
Yeah.
Last year, the career fair was amazing. It was really, really busy. I remember walking through there and thinking, oh my gosh, I won't have a chance to thank every employer individually because I just ran out of time. It was amazing how high the participation was, both from employers and from students.
That's excellent. What a great opportunity. I love that. Now, there's this cool stuff. We had some people on the show a couple months ago where kids were taking diesel class from the high school. They were walking over the bridge to take diesel class over at the UAS Tech Center, which is right here in downtown. But there's new opportunities happening.
Well, we really are excited about it. So, you know, it kind of began as sort of like, what can we do to really help get students more opportunity in career and technical education? How can we do it easily? Now with the high school students all at one high school, it's very easy to walk across that bridge and take some courses where you can earn college credit while you are still in high school. And the beauty of these courses that are associated with mining is because of the generosity of our local mining companies, students don't have to pay anything, and they can earn college credit and do something really interesting and hands-on. Yes, we have the diesel technology pathway, but we also have a pathway into environmental sciences because environmental scientists play a strong role in our mining industry as well.
That's so interesting. So these are courses are going to be happening this spring?
Absolutely. So we had some this fall. We will continue to offer them this spring. And we are totally excited. There's definitely been a lot of demand. And so we're excited to offer that second semester. We're very, very thankful to the school district who worked closely with us on developing these opportunities.
So if parents or students are listening and want to get into that, they probably talk to somebody at the high school, right? Or at first, like a counselor at the high school or something?
Yeah, I think that's a great first step, talking to your high school counselor. If you don't know much about these opportunities, they can help you understand how you can earn that credit during high school in a number of different pathways. You can also call our dual enrollment coordinator at the high school or at UAS, who works with the high school, and her name is Amanda Triplett. Amazing person.
So, and the best way to find people at the university is usually just use like the search tool, right, under staff and directory and staff and faculty directory, and look up Amanda Triplett, and then her email and her phone number and all that will be there.
Or you can put in dual enrollment into that search bar, and you can find that. But ideally, if you're a student or a parent of a student, just start with the high school counselor and see what the opportunities are.
And are the courses going to be, is it like introduction to mining, or is it, what is the course about?
So there are several different courses that we're developing in the pathway, but it really, you know, it does involve an introduction to mining, but it also, depending upon the pathway that you pursue, it can involve more specialized instruction in diesel technology or more specialized instruction in some of the courses that lead to those other pathways.
I see. Okay, that's really cool. That's something to look at. And I'm assuming that these are listed inside like the course catalog as well. Would they be in there?
So these are specially set up for high school students, and that's why I think working with a high school counselor or getting a hold of Amanda would be a great way to learn more about
them. Oh, so the only folks who take these courses are the high school students.
Well, these special courses that have been funded by the mining companies, we really want to build that pathway for local students into the local workforce.
So
we're just offering this very special opportunity to our high school students.
I see. That's really cool.
Now, anyone can participate in our diesel technology course. It's just offered for non-high school students at other times.
Yeah. I got you. Right. Because these are courses that are happening probably during the school day where they can maybe not do some other course, but instead they walk over the bridge and go take a class or something like that.
Well, for the mining pathways, they actually are doing it during what's known as the zero hour.
Okay.
So before school begins.
Oh, I see.
They can take advantage of these opportunities.
I see. That's cool.
There are other opportunities which fall under the general category of dual enrollment, where they can take courses online or in person through UAS.
Gotcha. Okay. And then what was the last thing that you wanted to talk about? There was one more thing.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people know about this center, but it's something that I'm really proud of. And I just want to highlight a couple of things they're doing.
Yeah.
So the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center, the ACRC, is located at the University of Alaska Southeast. They're located both in a a special building that we share with the USDA Forest Service right on the main campus. And the folks that work there also can be located at our brand new building that's dedicated to environmental sciences, the Octahit building. So this is a center that brings together scientists from a lot of different backgrounds. It's not just people like biologists and ecologists and chemists, but also social scientists. And they come together to really kind of understand the amazing ecosystems that exist here as we see kind of the ice field connected to the ocean. So we see the ice fields, the glaciers that make them up, the forests, which are so amazing here. These are coastal rainforests that are in temperate climates. And the rivers and the streams and the lakes, and then how they feed into the ocean. And studying that complexity is a focus area for the ACRC. And studying how they interact with humans is also really important. So I have a couple of really cool studies to highlight. Some of our students working with their faculty mentors are studying how rivers move carbon from the forest all the way to the ocean. So they're studying like carbon transport in many different forms. Carbon can be transported in the form of creatures that live in these habitats, but also can occur in dissolved forms in the aquatic habitats there. There's another amazing study where they're looking at how changing environmental conditions can impact subsistence shellfish harvesting. And this is a study that is in collaboration with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska to really, really understand, okay, as climate sort of changes and fluctuates, what impact does that have on organisms that could really, you know, affect shellfish and cause paralytic shellfish poisoning, which is an important thing to consider if you are living off of shellfish in a subsistence fashion. So it's an amazing way to kind of tie in what humans are doing with what is happening in the natural world.
I love that. That's so cool because it all, you know, sometimes we forget where we live, or we forget that we're part of, you know, an ecosystem that involves animals and shellfish and all the different things, and to be reminded of that, or to how they each affect each other, right?
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. And I know that probably plays right into you and your background. You probably get excited by some of this science stuff.
Totally, totally. I just, you know, I feel like, well, first of all, I just love being here as a marine biologist and a person who just loves nature. I still wake up every day and think, I live in the most beautiful and interesting place on Earth. And part of what makes it interesting is the kind of the biology and the chemistry and the cultural aspects, all of those interwoven in this place.
And you help me because every time you're on the show and we talk about the tardigrades, which is the water bears, and the polychaetes, which is the sea worms, and those were your sort of areas of study. And I had never really heard of those things before. And so that's really fun because then I get educated and the audience gets educated and we sort of learn things. And one of the things, and you think, you know, like, tardigrades, water bears, what could that possibly have for us? And what's interesting is I was just looking into it and they just found some new research, right? A newly described species of tardigrade. I'm not going to pronounce the Italian or the Latin of it, but it has provided significant insights into the molecular mechanisms behind their exceptional resistance to radiation.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fascinating because they found out that this particular species is 1,000 times their radiation levels, which help these tiny creatures survive radiation levels nearly 1,000 times higher than lethal doses for humans. So the research that they're doing could have implications for improving cancer treatments and protecting astronauts from space radiation, all from a little water bear.
You know, I love how excited you are because Sometimes I'm just on my own thinking, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to kind of talk to somebody who also celebrates how amazing water bears are. Their capacity to be resistant and go dormant under really harsh conditions is at the core of their ability to tolerate these amazing environmental extremes. But also, of course, it can be applied to human beings in a number of different ways, including how our cells could manage radiation, but also how we can think about preservation of organs for the long term, or preservation of our chromosomes so that we can mitigate the effects of aging. These are all studies that are done on tardigrades.
And it's just so amazing because it's this tiny little creature, but it can have such an impact on so many things that are related to us as human beings.
Absolutely. For those of you unfamiliar with tardigrades, these are microscopic organisms. The average size is half a millimeter. And so if you take your pencil and you just draw a dot on your piece of paper, that's about as large as they get.
What?
And so looking at them under the microscope with their leglets, and they move around and sort of amble like little bears, it's just one of the most amazing things that you'll ever spend time doing.
I love it. It's so good. And I just can't wait to keep learning more as you come back and visit us again. Dr. Aparna Palmer from the University, the Chancellor for the University of Alaska Southeast, the Career Fair, which is happening in February. If you're a business, get yourself signed up for that. And students, be on the lookout for that coming up. High school students, the mining courses and diesel courses continue over at the Tech Center just across the bridge from the high school. Talk to your high school counselor about that. And of course, the ACRC doing all of the fantastic research that they're doing. And how do people find out more information about the ACRC?
They can actually look up the ACRC either through a regular Google search, the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center, or through our website. And they just have exceptional opportunities for students to do research with some of the world's most amazing scientists.
I love that.
I am not kidding.
Yeah,
they are amazing.
That's really cool. The Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center. Just Google that and you'll find out more information. I really appreciate it, Dr. Palmer. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Gunath Cheesh. Up next, we'll talk with CBJ Parks and Recs. But first, the Thlinkit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakalat, Florence Marks Sheikley. And the word this week is tisk.
Tisk.
That means moose. And here's a sentence.
Tisk.
There aren't a lot of moose around us here. Let's hear it again.
Tisk.
Moose. Gunas Cheesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukanidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Journalists at KTOO work hard every day to bring you stories that matter. Our job is to be your eyes and ears in the community and to help you understand and care about the world outside your door. When you become a member of KTOO, you make this important work possible. This December, make sure your membership is up to date at ktoo.org. You'll hear your investment at work with every story you hear, every report you read, and every post you share. Gunas Cheesh.
You You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by George Schaff from the CBJ Parks and Recreation Department. Gunnith Cheesh, Ha Yigudi. Thank you so much, George, for coming in. Happy holidays. Wasiyati, how's it going?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, Boston. Really glad to be here.
Of course. You are the last live guest of 2024.
I am honored. Thank you. I hope I'm a good one.
Yeah, we're about to go on holiday break and enjoy the new year. I can't believe it's going to be 2025.
I know. It's been a heck of a year, and we're not done yet, though. Parks and Recreation, we got lots going on this winter to get you out there, get you active.
I know. That's why you're here. That's going to be so cool. So I'm figuring there's a bunch of events happening in the next few weeks. Tell us what we got coming up.
Yeah, for sure. So lots of things going on. We know it's cold outside. It's about to be cold and rainy again outside, but you know, the weather's always great in the pools, and we've got lots of opportunities for fun things to do in the pools. We're actually going to be showing the entire 4-movie series of the Despicable Me series.
What?
Yes, and we will be showing those. There are Movie in the Park series, but we do them indoors in the wintertime. So we're going to be showing the original Despicable Me at Treadwell Arena on December 28th, followed by the sequel at Augustus Brown Pool for a dive-in movie on January 5th. Then the part 3 will be at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse on January 19th. And then at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, we'll have part 4 on January 25th. So we're going to have lots of movies in the park, in the pools, and
at
the
Fieldhouse. I love that they're not going to just be at the same location, too. You get to travel and go to the different locations, experience the different places if you haven't been. Like, some people maybe haven't been back to Augustus Brown since it reopened.
That's right.
And things like that. But this gets you a little bit of the tour, and you get to watch a movie, and you get to do it in the comfort of, I don't know what they keep the pool temperature at, but I'm sure it's a nice, cool, wonderful temperature.
Yeah. We've got a temperature to suit everybody. So at both pools, we've got one pool that's a little bit warmer than the other.
Oh, nice.
And we will be providing you with floaties even. So you even get your own little inner tube if you show up early.
I love that. And that's a great schedule. And of course, everything we're talking about here, you can find on the CBJ website at juno.org/parks-recreation, or find the CBJ Parks and Recreation Facebook page.
Absolutely.
It'll all be
right
on there too. Because there are a bunch of those dates there. There's 4 movies, all the Despicable Me movies. And the first one is starting next week after Christmas, December 28th.
That's right, December 28th. And that's just a couple of days before we open up registration for our co-ed volleyball league. So that's always a really popular activity here in the wintertime. Last year, we had more people participating in volleyball than I think we've ever had, certainly since before the pandemic. So folks will want to be paying attention to there. You can register online at our website beginning on December 30th, and that'll be open through January 9th.
And do you have to have any experience?
Nope. We've got a great league set up. So even if you don't have a team, we can actually help try to place you with a team that needs some additional team members too.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Volleyball is such a great sport. Where does that happen at?
It happens in gyms around town. So we do those at some of the school district gyms, and also Floyd Dryden Gym.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's cool. Volleyball league coming up.
Coming up. And then, you know, if you really like the pools so much that you're there just all the time, you can't get enough of it, we'd love to have you work with us at the pools. So we are actually going to be offering our lifeguard course January 4th through 6th, and costs $250 if folks want to take it. But if you're going to apply for a job as a lifeguard with CBJ, it'll be free. And so we really are excited to try and
get it. The course will be free.
The course will be free, and then we'd love to hire you as a lifeguard.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so we need lifeguards. We want to keep those pools open and get everybody in there, and you can help us do that, get paid while you're at it, and have one of the best jobs in Juneau.
The lifeguard training is January 4th through the 6th. Is there an age, like, requirement? How old do you have? How young can you be? Can high school students, like, over 16 do this?
For sure.
Okay.
Yep, yeah. For sure. Yeah, we have lots of kids that are in high school, and part of the reason we need lots of lifeguards is a lot of those kids love swimming. They're on the swim team, or they're part of Glacier Swim Club. So, we would love folks of all ages can apply to take that lifeguard course.
That's cool. And is that like three full days of training kind of thing?
It is. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It'll go from Thursday, January 2nd through Saturday, January 4th, and then it'll continue Monday, January 6th.
Okay. And the cool thing about that, I just want to reiterate this, is that people hear the money and then they go, I can't do that. It's $250. But you said, if you are applying to be a lifeguard, then the course is free.
That's right. You just have to apply. So complete the course and apply, and the course will be free.
That's amazing. That's really cool. Yeah. That's a good way to get new lifeguards out there. And I know kids need, you know, high school students need jobs. Young adults need jobs. Everybody needs a job.
Exactly. And we need people because we got jobs. We have 18 positions open right now with Parks and Recreation. So even if lifeguarding's not your thing, if you would like to work at our Spruce Root House Youth Shelter, we've got positions there. Positions at Zach Gordon Youth Center. We've got recreation aides helping out with our sports programs. We got lots and lots of great jobs.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Fit any schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We got more?
Got more. Yeah. So one thing that we're really excited about is we've got preschool open gym going again at Mount Jumbo Gym in Douglas. This has always been a really popular program. We haven't had staff to run it, but now we do. So children ages 6 months up to 6 years can come play in a warm, dry gym weekdays from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. all the way through April 25th. If you've got a Parks and Recreation pass, that'll get you in the door. Otherwise, it's $5 per child, and an adult can join them for free. We've got lots of toys, lots of really cool things and activities for the kids to do while they're there. It's a great chance to take a break and get out of the house and get out of the weather and come to the preschool open gym at Mount Jumbo.
Mount Jumbo. Okay, cool. That's right. And you mentioned this is, and I know that Lauren was on a few months ago, and I think we talk about it every year, but the winter pass is still available, right?
It is. Yeah, the winter pass has really been selling well this year. So for folks who don't know, the winter pass is $200, gets you unlimited access to all of our parks and recreation facilities, both pools, the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, Treadwell Arena, Mount Jumbo Gym. And that is unlimited access through the end of March, March 31st. And the earlier you buy it, the better deal it is because you're going to have more access.
Because they go on sale like in November or something, I think, right?
They do.
Yeah,
they do. But even now, if you do the math, it's a really good deal.
So, yeah, especially if you're going weekly. If you have kids especially, you need to get out and get them out there on the weekends and after school and stuff like that, which is really kind of cool. Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah.
And the last thing I'll just mention is, you know, we just wrapped up a analysis of commercial use in our parks and on our trails that we manage for the city and borough of Juneau. We had great participation throughout the summer and into the fall. Hundreds of community members joined us at public meetings all over town. And we're really excited. I think we developed a good plan that folks seem to support pretty broadly. Just to give some highlights if folks weren't aware, some of the recommendations included adding a couple of parks and trails for commercial use that had not been available before because they hadn't been built yet. Overstreet Park being an example, also the Under Thunder Trail in the valley. We also heard from the community that they wanted to see a little bit less commercial use in certain areas. So we're actually going to be ending commercial use of the Perseverance Trail in coming years, as well as Sunshine Cove Natural Area Park. So there's a lot of detail in the plan. It really provides a framework for us to manage that commercial use. And the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee took a look at it earlier this month, gave it a good recommendation forward. It'll be moving on to the Assembly here later on this winter. And if folks have any questions, it's posted on our website, or they can contact us, and we'd be happy to help answer any questions they have.
That's what I was going to say, is where can people look at it? But it's on the website, right?
Yep. Come see us at juno.org and select Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, absolutely. /parks-recreation, right?
You got it.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. That's really nice to hear. I'm sure a lot of people will be excited about that in terms of taking away some of that commercial use and all that. Many great events from CBJ Parks and Rec. Everything we talked about today, you can find out on their website or at their Facebook page. They post. They do really well in keeping track of all that stuff. So I really appreciate you coming in, George, and telling us all about it. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays and happy solstice. The days are getting brighter soon.
I know. I can't wait for the darkness to lift. It's going to be so awesome. I really appreciate you coming in. Gunchish.
KTOO has you covered this holiday season with gifts for the public media fan in your life. Design your own hoodie or t-shirt with one of our vintage logos, or get tickets to two upcoming KTOO events, Alaska Theater Festival Radio Plays and An Evening with David Sedaris. Just go to ktoo.org for merch sales and ticket links. Gunoshtish and happy holidays.
We'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a great holiday season, and be sure to follow the schedule at ktoo.org for all the special holiday programming in store for you. Also, KTOO is in the midst of the year-end membership drive with a special offer of a New York Times cooking subscription amidst all the other wonderful membership gifts. You can find out more at ktoo.org/donate. Your support helps programs like Juno Afternoon. Our special Juno Afternoon News Roundup for 2024 is on Tuesday, December 31st at 3 p.m. And we'll be back with regular shows on Thursday, January 2nd. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbe 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a joyous holiday season.